Here it is!
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
Well, I don't know if it's a phenomenological or an epistemological question, ladies and gentlemen, but it's the question that seems to me to sum up the year that we're just passing like a turnip better than any other sentence I can think of at the moment. It's a question that arose at the start of this weekend here in the United States after the House of Representatives passed two articles of impeachment staining forever, supposedly, the otherwise stainless reputation of President Trump. And as I say, a couple of law professors, you know, because when an impeachment article is passed, the news media have a reflex action, if not in their DNA, at least in their style book, of calling law professors. A couple of them said, well, you know, there's this discussion now of whether and when Speaker Nancy Pelosi of the House of Representatives is going to send the articles of impeachment over to the Senate for what the Constitution would dictate would be a trial, and which Mitch McConnell, the Republican head of the Senate, has flatly predicted would be an untrial. We know what's going to happen. There's not going to be any, you know, that. So, as I say, Nancy Pelosi is hesitating at sending the articles over, hoping that gives her some kind of leverage to get some witnesses or coffee or something. And so a couple of these law professors opined that the question arises, if the House doesn't send the articles of impeachment, which they voted upon and approved, they don't send them over to the Senate for a trial, whatever kind of trial, the question arises, has the president actually been impeached? You can't sum up this year any better than that. Hello, welcome to the show. Santa Monica, California, home of the homeless. I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this special holiday edition. Happy holiday, everybody, of the show. The tip of the show, chapeau back there to a gentleman who's just passed away who did the horn arrangements on that song. One of the people who was sending those hidden messages to me all those many years ago. Hey, there's something happening in New Orleans. R.I.P. Jerry Jumonville for helping me find the place and the way. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the, as I say, the holiday program There'll be some apologies, because there's no better time to apologize than holiday time. People, I guess, just it just seems more sincere this time of year, doesn't it? Like everything else, like me on the radio. But first of all, you know I write a Christmas or a holiday-themed song every year. This year is no exception, oddly enough, or ordinarily enough. The basis of it, and it was world premiered at Christmas Without Tears performances in London, Chicago, and New Orleans, and now it's being presented to the universes at large, wherever and whatever they may be. The basic premise is simple. The old legend has it that Santa Claus... Thanks for listening, kids. Santa Claus visits children all around the world, and in the stockings of the kids who've been good, he leaves a lovely gift, maybe a gift card. And for the kids who've been naughty this year, what he leaves in their stocking, or stockings, is a lump of coal. Now, this time of year, a lot of the East Coast, even some of the South, that might not be such a bad gift. You get a match, you know, you get a little warmth out of the thing. There are worse things for Santa to leave in the stockings of the naughty kids. Don't go there. I'm not. But there's a group of kids and their parents who've been getting that for just about exactly a century.
World War I is over, a November celebration. Dividing up an empire, each ethnicity gets a nation. The boundaries are goofy, they weren't drawn up by nerds. But one group got a Christmas treat in Santa's sack, a lump of sand instead of their own land. What Kris Kringle brought the curd. Iraq invades Kuwait, the U.S. goes recruiting for help in pushing back Saddam. The Kurds join in the shooting. The war is quickly over. Bush 41 speaks inspiring words. He'll help Iraqis rise up in every way, with every breath. By March they're gassed to death. What Kris Kringle brought the Kurds. Kinda crazy. Everybody's fighting. Russians, Iranians, IS, even a moderate rebel sighting. Whatever they were. Tribes and armies come and go, crisscrossing the land like herds. Then Trump gives Turks a signal. It's full of hidden meaning. You can do some ethnic cleaning. That's what Kris Kringle's bringing the Kurds. You'd think they'd learned their lesson. Christmas is for the birds. Santa's with the Yanks. He don't need no tanks to keep bringing lumps of sand to the Kurds.
If he had a little more étouffée, rode up on a flatboat instead of a sleigh.
tiger. Instead of hot apple cider, then we would have us a Louisiana Santa riding through the night with just a t-shirt on. A Louisiana Santa with a laugh like a Louis and a belly like a Paul Boudon. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. If he wasn't Long Beach and sang the blues, and he could really tell you where you got them shoes.
I'm
Now, here was my idea for what Speaker Pelosi should say to Senate leader Mitch McConnell. You know what? You guys have a lot of unfinished work. You've got all these cabinet officials that have never been confirmed, high executive branch officials and cabinet secretaries. Why don't you get your confirmation work done first, and then we'll send you the articles of impeachment? We don't want these acting. You know, that's a real intrusion on Senate prerogatives to not have these guys confirmed by you. Just a thought. Just a Christmas gift to the world from me. And now, the apologies of the week. Just dig how sincere these are. Dan Spilo is breaking his silence about his controversial time on Survivor, apologizing that his actions made other contestants feel uncomfortable. Spilo, a 48-year-old Hollywood agent, do I have to go on? Okay, I will. Was removed from the game on day 36 after an incident in which he touched a female producer's thigh, weeks after he was accused of inappropriately touching a contestant, Kelly Kim. Not to be confused with Kim Kelly. Oh, no. Quote, I'm deeply sorry for how my actions affected Kelly. By the way, that's Kelly with three E's. You figure it out. During the taping of this season of Survivor, Spilo writes in an exclusive statement to People. How'd they get that? That's some digging. Quote, after apologizing at the tribal council, when I first learned that Kelly still felt uncomfortable, I want to make sure I do so again clearly and unambiguously. I truly regret that anyone was made to feel uncomfortable by my behavior, says the 48-year-old Hollywood agent. In my life, he continues, I've always tried to treat others with decency, integrity, and kindness, says the Hollywood agent. I can only hope that my actions in the future can help me to make amends and show me to be the kind of father, husband, colleague, and friend that I always aim to be. Unquote, the Hollywood agent. It's the first time that Spilo has spoken out since his ouster from the show. He had planned to address the controversy during the show's live finale, but was uninvited from that. Earlier in the season, Kim expressed concern that Spilo had violated her personal space by touching her hair, arms, and legs, even after she made multiple requests for him to stop. She was voted out of the game after raising her concerns to other contestants. It's a real Me Too survivor. The chairman and vice president of Samsung Electronics are starting 18 months of prison sentences after being found guilty of illegal union busting at the Seoul Central District Court. Chairman Lee Sang-hoon and executive vice president Kang Kyun-hoon were in charge of a wide-ranging scheme to stop staff from joining unions. This scheme included cutting wages for staff who joined unions and probing workers' private lives. Some two dozen other Samsung executives were found guilty of related offenses. The union busting was focused on a customer service center where Lee was chief financial officer. Here's a Samsung statement to Agence France-France. We humbly accept that the company's understanding and view towards labor unions in the past fell short of society's expectations. We will endeavor to build a forward-looking and productive labor management relationship based on the respect for our employees, unquote. The company has a broad anti-union stance across its subsidiaries. It's kind of an apology. Dateline London, 500,000 washing machines manufactured by Whirlpool Corporation sold in Britain are to be recalled following an order from the country's safety regulator, which found they cause a fire risk. Latest recall follows a similar one for faulty tumble dryers in July. They also posed a fire risk. Whirlpool will start a recall and replacement program for the washing machines next month. There's a risk that the door locks of affected machines could catch fire due to overheating during the washing process. Jeff Noel just happens to be vice president of Whirlpool at Christmas time, apologized for the recall. We know this will cause some concern. We especially understand that the washing machine is so important to family life, and in Christmas holiday season, it will be even more of an important matter. And for that, we apologize, said Jeff Noel. By the way, there's a cold snap in Britain, and if you don't have room for a fireplace in your house, A Whirlpool washing machine would make a lovely gift. Hallmark has apologized for pulling an ad featuring a same-sex couple from the wedding company Zola. The ad was from the company, not the couple. The network felt the ad was too controversial and distracting. The move enraged thousands of people online, including prominent LGBTQ celebrities, led to calls to boycott Hallmark in the middle of its popular Christmas movie season. Also, they sell cards. Now Hallmark is admitting it had made a mistake. In a statement posted on Twitter, or tweeted on poster, the president and CEO of Hallmark Cards, Mike Perry, wrote the team was truly sorry for the move. The team has been agonizing over this decision as we've seen the hurt it has unintentionally caused. Said simply, they believe this was the wrong decision, he said. We're truly sorry for the hurt and disappointment this has caused. Hallmark said it would be working with GLAAD to, that's two A's, to better represent the LGBTQ community across our portfolio of brands, with one A, and reaching out to Zola to reestablish our partnership and reinstate the commercials. Hallmark had originally pulled the ad after a petition from the conservative group 1 Million Moms. Senior Vice President for Public Affairs at Hallmark told the AP the company found the debate surrounding the commercials distracting. The Hallmark brand is never going to be divisive, she said. We don't want to generate controversy. We just felt it was the best interest of the brand to pull them and not continue to generate controversy, unquote. And of course, ironically, they did. And the whole thing is a distraction now. I don't even know what Hallmark does anymore. Really. Estonia's president has apologized after the country's interior minister described Finland's new prime minister as, quote, a sales girl. President Kersti Kaljulaid said she was embarrassed by the comments of Mart Helm, who leads the populist far-right party ECRA. Finnish Prime Minister Sanna Marin, 34, is the world's youngest prime minister. Mr. Helm made his controversial remarks on his party's radio talk show. She, the Prime Minister of Finland, has spoken about growing up in a disadvantaged family, but the Estonia Interior Minister said, now we see how one sales girl has become a prime minister and how some other street activists and non-educated people have also joined the cabinet. Ms. Marin said she was extremely proud of Finland. Mr. Helm said his comments had been misunderstood but offered an apology to Ms. Marin. He said he'd intended to acknowledge that it is possible to work oneself up from a low social level also into top politics. If someone has misunderstood it, then indeed I want to say I'm offering my apology to the Prime Minister of Finland. The Estonian president said how embarrassed she is for all this. Opposition parties called for the interior minister to resign. Estonia is the most northerly of the three Baltic states, has linguistic ties with Finland, which you'll see if you ever go there. It looks like, you see the language written out, they're talking Finnish. A Denver radio show has been canceled after one of the hosts wished for, quote, a nice school shooting, unquote, to break up the coverage of President Trump's impeachment. The host, Chuck Bonawol, was opening a segment of the Chuck and Julie show Tuesday afternoon when he said they would be discussing the never-ending impeachment of Donald Trump. His wife, co-host Julie Hayden, laughed before Bonawol added, you know, you wish for a nice school shooting to interrupt the monotony. No, 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 don't even say that. No, don't even say that. His wife said, don't call us. Chuck didn't say that. Bonawol immediately added, which, you know, no one would be hurt. The radio station 710 KNews called his comment inappropriate. The show would be canceled immediately, the statement said, given the history of school violence that has plagued our community, the station said, referring to Denver. Bonawol initially issued a statement saying the comment was meant as a joke. I'm sorry it was not received in that light. You know, just because you're on the radio doesn't mean you're not an amateur when it comes to humor. An onstage moment from Thursday night's Democratic debate has sparked a Twitter back and forth between President Trump's former spokeswoman and Joe Biden, he of the hairy legs. The former vice president imitated a stutter as he related a tale of how he connects with people as he campaigns, including a child who may have had a speech impediment. After, former press secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders seemed to imitate a stutter as she tweeted, I have absolutely no idea what Biden is talking about. Hashtag Dem debate. She followed up with a tweet saying she wasn't making fun of anyone, but pointing out, I can't follow much of anything Biden is talking about. Oh, darling, you know he has hairy legs. Biden suffered from a stutter as a child. After the debate, he tweeted in response, "I've worked my whole life to overcome a stutter," and encouraged empathy to understand those who have experienced the same. Sanders then deleted her two previous tweets and issued an apology. "I actually didn't know that about you, and that is commendable. I apologize and should have made my point respectfully." Unquote. And Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison, known familiarly down there as ScoMo, apologized this weekend for taking a vacation while Australia is in the midst of an unprecedented bushfire crisis and a record-breaking heat wave. He said via a statement, "I deeply regret any offense caused to any of the many Australians affected by the terrible bushfires by my taking leave with my family at this time. I've been receiving regular updates on the bushfires disaster, as well as the status of the search for and treatment of the victims of the White Island tragedy," unquote. Pressure had been piling up on the Prime Minister over his recent trip to Hawaii as thousands of volunteer firefighters battled fires across Australia and millions of residents in Sydney choked on toxic smoke. "I know the feeling. It happened in October in L.A. This pressure," Santa Monica, actually, "this pressure increased further after two volunteer firefighters died after a tree fell and caused their truck to fall off the road. Prime Minister said he'd be returning to Australia as soon as possible, given the most recent tragic events in reference to the deaths of the two firefighters. To not be coming home after their shift is a tremendous grief, and I applaud the families and the loved ones for their remarkable comprehension of what's been unfolding," Morrison told reporters. See? It's not just Trump talks like that. The apologies of the week, copyrighted feature of this broadcast. And now, here's America's oldest Christmas song, based on America's longest war.
We've still got Karzai, we've still got Haqqani. For one day maybe it's okay to be Afghani. The stockings are hung by the chimney with care. It's the only place to hang anything there. The gift has been given, the Taliban beaten. No reindeers will visit, they know they'll be eaten. We've made such progress, we've come so far. Now it's Christmas in Kandahar. We fought side by side with Uzbeki and Turka. We've shaved off the beard and thrown off the burqa. It's so reassuring as we sit home alone to hear right above us a predator drone. Santa's crossed off his list the land where we dwell. We've been naughty this year and Muslim as well. John Kerry came by in an armored car. Must be Christmas in Kandahar. We've mastered the art of trimming the tree. We've covered it with a fine coat of explosive debris. There's no way to drive and no way to call. There's no stuff in the stores, there aren't any stores, and there isn't a moon. There's no little elves, and no Charlie Brown, just 4,000 Marines out on the town. Ramadan this year was strictly subpar. Now it's Christmas in Kandahar.
Green.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, news of the warm, won't you? A holiday news of the warm. Bright and cheery, right?
Soft, listen to the warm. We can listen to the warm.
Well, not quite. The Greenland ice sheet's losses have accelerated so fast since the 1990s, it is now shedding more than 7 times as much ice each year, according to 89 scientists who use satellites to study the area. This reported in the Washington Post. The ice sheets' total losses nearly doubled each decade from 33 billion tons per year in the 90s to an average now of 254 billion tons annually. There's your rocks. Since 1992, nearly 4 trillion tons of Greenland ice have entered the ocean, according to the new analysis. That's equivalent to roughly a centimeter of global sea level rise. That may not sound like much, but the uptick is already affecting millions around the planet. Just 1 centimeter of sea level rise brings another 6 million people into seasonal annual floods, says one of the co-leaders of the investigation. The results from a scientific group called the Ice Sheet Mass Balance Intercomparison Exercise, that spells out nothing, spells out IMBY, were published in the journal Nature, which spells out Nature. The research suggests an alarming pace of change for the Earth's second largest body of ice. It could theoretically drive more than 20 feet of sea level rise over a millennium. The research suggests an alarming pace of change for the Earth's second largest body of ice, which could theoretically drive more than 20 feet of sea level rise over a millennium, so don't plan on sticking around. You'll be wet. The recent Greenland losses, according to the experts, match a more dire sea level projection outlined by the UN chief climate science body, the IPCC. Under that high-end scenario, no, it doesn't mean you drive an Lexus to get there. Greenland could contribute about 16 centimeters or around half a foot to ocean levels by 2100. What that means is that really the mid-range scenario becomes what was previously the upper scenario, and they will have to invent a new upper scenario, says the co-leader of the study, because one currently doesn't exist. A study from the University of Alaska shows that between 2007 and 2016, roughly 300 football fields worth of land were lost to erosion at a location called Drew Point. Much more sea level rise would then come from melting in Antarctica and smaller glaciers around the world, along with the expansion of ocean water that stems from warmer temperatures. It's not yet clear whether these other components of the sea level equation are also following the high-end or worst-case path. The current study was only focused on Greenland. That's the world's largest island, covered with a continuous sheet of ice produced by many thousands of years of snowfall. The ice sheet's size rivals that of Alaska, and its center is well over a mile thick. The ice flows outward under its own weight toward the ocean, but because Greenland is mountainous and rocky, it usually reaches the sea in finger-like glaciers that extend outward through fjords. Fjords are submerged valleys, but you know all this, and if you don't, it's too late now. Several large glaciers account for the biggest ice losses, with Jakobshavn Glacier in central Greenland leading the way, but there are hundreds of glaciers overall, now more losing ice as warming seas come in contact with them through the fjords. And the ice sheet itself is also being exposed to warming air temperatures. Most of the island is warmed by more than 2 degrees Celsius already, compared with late 19th century findings, according to a Washington Post analysis of the global regions that are warming fastest. That's double the global average weight of warmings. In summer, these higher temperatures produce more and more meltwater atop the ice sheet, which also runs into the ocean. The remaining losses are driven by the faster flow of the glaciers out into the extremely deep waters of Greenland's fjords, where they break off into the ocean in pieces. That faster flow may account for the fact that the ice sheet is losing more mass than previously expected. More and more glaciers are losing ice, said a study co-author. This includes very large glaciers in Greenland's north, far north, which lie closest to the Arctic Ocean and had previously been slow to change. The new research is based on 26 separate satellite analyses, all individually published as separate studies. Collect them all. News of the Warm, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast.
The elves had to show picture ID. The reindeer got special screening. The gifts were all x-rayed, then thrown away, despite Santa's intervening. A 14-year-old got a new bar of soap shoved through the slot in his door. Somebody's driver got a coupon from Saks and a gift card for lawyers to get him some more. The seagulls were filling a light blue sky while drones and choppers flew lazily by. The Cuban sun shone so brightly that day when Santa Claus came to Guantanamo Bay. Guantanamo Bay. The old man with dementia out his empty box first. The guards had removed ribbon and wrap from the ones called the worst of the worst. They roughly impounded Rudolph's red nose. It set off all kinds of alarms. The party was running 12 hours late on its scheduled departure for Midwestern farms. Castro was having a fortified drink, not really knowing what he should think or what he should take. Several hours to say when Santa Claus came to Guantanamo Bay. To Guantanamo Bay. Special environment greeted the crew. It had to make Santa so proud that on this one night, heavy metal was gone. It was carols being played way too loud. A jolly old fella brought a message of light. Gifts are mightier than swords. But he couldn't resist while he was there for the night, putting some elves on the waterboard. The seagulls were filling a light blue sky while drones and choppers flew lazily by. The Cuban sun shone so brightly that day when Santa Claus came to Guantanamo Bay. To Guantanamo Bay. To Guantanamo Bay.
There'll be no crazy down on Bourbon Street. The second line is gonna lose the beat. They won't be having fun at Mardi Gras, and all the Cajuns gonna move to Arkansas. Yeah, the alligator's gone to fly, and it blooms a rain from the sky, and the poncho train will freeze, and we all are gonna skate. The day it snows on Christmas, yeah, in New Orleans. The day it snows on Christmas, yeah, yeah. Don't take no skis down to the levee. Don't take your sled down to Monkey Hill, no, no. Santa ain't bringing no snow this year, and he never will. The coffee won't have any chicory. The moss will fall right off the live oak tree. Chapatulas won't have one pothole, and the saints will go marching to the Super Bowl. Yeah, the alligator's gone to fly, and the blooms will fall from the sky, and the poncho train will freeze, and we're all gonna skate. The day it snows on Christmas, yeah, in New Orleans. The day it snows on Christmas Day, I can't wait. The day it snows on Christmas, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Merry Christmas, y'all.
Said you, Santa Claus. I'm preparing for some Christmas cheering, but I pause because hanging my stocking, I can hear him knocking. Is it you, Santa Claus? Sure is dark out, ain't the slightest spark out, just my clacking jaws. Who's there? Who is it? Stopping for a visit. Is it you, Santa Claus? Are you bringing a present for me? Something pleasantly pleasant for me. That is just what I've been waiting for. Would you mind slipping it under the door? Cold winds are howling, could that be growling? My legs feel like straw. Santa Claus. Hanging my stocking, I can hear him knocking. Is it you, Santa Claus? Santa Claus. Oh, Santa, you give me a scare. Now stop teasing, I know you are there. We don't believe in no goblins today, but I can't explain why I'm shaking this way. Then I can see old Santa in a keyhole. I'll give to the cars. One peek, I'll try there. Oh, there's an eye. Is it you, Santa Claus? Hey, Santa, I could use something spicy tonight. Some zatarins would be all right. I'll give you something sweet, some cookies and milk.
Christmas season, 'tis better far to lend than to owe. So I want to be a beggar this Christmas. Standing tall, my shoes would need no lifts. 'Cause if I was a beggar this Christmas, I'd already that I help to write, and regulators smoother than a soffit. The Fed would lend me money at no interest at all. I'd relend it at a guaranteed profit. If prosecutors thought I'd cross the line, I'd come to private dinners with their boss. In the end, we'd repay a few million at most. We'd get a tax deduction on the loss. I'd have invented cool new ways to play with debt, and to get a lot more people living in it. And long before the New Deals got all wet, I'd receive my bonus in a New York minute. So
I believe Jamie Dimon is forever. Forever is a long, long time. If you wanna get me something,
not a crime. I want to be a banker this Christmas. Standing tall, my shoes would need no lifts.
I'd like to thank all the people who came to the Christmas Without Tears shows in Chicago, London, and New Orleans this year, who helped us help charities in those cities, helping the homeless, helping get medical care for musicians, and bringing the arts to children in hospitals. And next year we're going to be helping raise money for the Sewage and Water Board in New Orleans so they can, so that the water that comes out your tap is clear. But ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be it for this holiday edition of the show. Happy Kwanzaa, happy Hanukkah, happy Christmas. Happy war on Christmas, everybody. Back next week with a part two, the final part of The Year in Rebuke, for your listening displeasure. Tip of the Le Show chapeau to the San Diego desk for help with today's broadcast. And thanks to Pam Halstead and to Jenny Lawson for their assistance as well. The email address for this program, your chance to get Cars I Talk t-shirts, I guess for Martin Luther King Day, and a playlist of the music you hear here, all at harryshearer.com, and I'm on Twitter at the Harry Shearer. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Change is Easy Radio Network. So long from the home of the homeless.